This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is opening day, and this is when everybody gets optimistic about the season. No matter where you are, no matter what you think, everyone's level. But 28 of the 30 teams will play today, and then we'll see. But the Pirates open up in Miami, 4 games, then Tampa for 3, and home against the Yankees for 3. And Jim, you know, the big topic was Paul Skeens and what he's capable of doing in year 2. He set the bar very high. But that's a guy who's very mature. You know, we were talking about Sidney Crosby with TK the last segment about somebody who understands the history, the obligation that comes with it. I get the feeling now that he's added more pitches to his repertoire that whatever you saw from him last year, some of those batters are going to see something different this year. And as such, I think you're going to see a guy who's going to live up to the Cy Young expectation standard.
Well, I only say this half facetiously. I wish they'd let him hit. And because and I know
he's
it's
a good hitter.
I know it's easier said than done. But he was a prolific hitter before he all of a sudden became like the greatest pitcher of his generation so far, anyway. But it's just, and that's why I think it's unconscionable that the team did not make a concerted effort. Now I know Jared Jones is gone for a while, and you never know with injuries when they could crop up and go out and get this guy some support. I know we've had the dueling finance Pirates making, losing money, whatever it is, stories the last couple of weeks, but go out and support this guy, and they're not doing it. And they've got other pitchers too, young pitchers that they don't have to pay these guys. And I think that's the frustrating thing. And that takes a lot of the luster, I think, out of opening day. Now you do have Paul Skeens pitching today. And I don't know about you, but it was, you know, you kind of keep track of what's happening and spring training stats don't matter and so forth. But I'd get disappointed if I looked up and saw, oh, he gave up a run, right? Every time he gives up a hit, he gives up a run, you think, oh, no, something's going wrong here because he's not supposed to, no one's supposed to ever get a hit off him. But that's how good this guy is.
He's terrific, and I agree with you, and I've likened it to having a rookie quarterback who's really good on a rookie contract, and you go out and supply a bunch of stuff around
or
him.
Or goalie in the NHL.
Anything, yeah. If you get somebody who's not making a lot of money, but you know he's going to be a key to your team, you have an opportunity, and I think they failed in that regard.
I think it's an obligation.
It is, but you mentioned something interesting about the dueling reports about their finances. I don't believe for one second they're not making money. I think they're making a lot of money. But anyway, yesterday Forbes came out with their valuations of the franchises. And by the way, you can call us at 412-928-9370. Austin will take the calls, and we'll take some of those as we go. But Forbes says the Pirates are worth $1.35 billion. They were sold And Bob Nutting acquired it for $220 million. So that's as soon as you sell it, you're going to be a billionaire if you aren't already.
Well, that's the net worth, and I'm like Reggie Dunlop in Slapshot. I don't understand finance, but I do know that the worth of the franchise has increased basically exponentially.
Yes, and it will continue to, regardless of your wins and losses. It doesn't matter.
Having said that, it doesn't matter. If you want to, you know, you can go online and see what Realtor.com says your house is worth. Say it's worth like $300,000. Well, it's not worth $300,000 unless you can find somebody to buy it for $300,000. And so the Pirates, you know, would there be a buyer out there?
I don't know.
I mean,
yes.
And yet from
there's so much rich wealth out there. People would want absolutely to own it. If you're a hedge fund guy, but you don't know, and no one who knows, as you have an ego, you want to buy a team so that people know who you are. And then you can have a toy to play with. And I think there will be tons of people who would be interested. Tons.
Well, and the thing is, it's actually a profitable toy because the worth of the franchise, like I said, increases yearly, and that's why it's an. And obviously, people say they need to spend more. To me, it's never been spending; it's investing. You're investing into a team. They did that 10 years ago. They did do that when Garrett Cole came along,
and they
also made some nice moves, like bringing in Paul Martin, bringing in.
Defenseman for the Penguins.
No, the catcher. I mean,
Russell
Martin. But Paul Martin was pretty good, too.
He was pretty good.
Until he got hurt. But then, you know, brought in A.J. Burnett. And then they supplemented around the McCutcheons, the Walkers, the Mercers, the Harrisons. And Polanco was there, Marte, you know, all those guys. And they did it. They were doing it the right way. And then all of a sudden, when they had more people and they made more money and attracted more fans, all of a sudden they stopped doing it.
Which didn't make any sense. And they're in the same position now because we have this version of Garrett Cole, which is Paul Skeens. They should have done it this offseason. This was the time to strike. Given they all talk about playoffs and it's time. Well, it's time. Show us it's time.
They didn't do anything. I saw, you know, and we're going to have on our website, Ben Tenuta was in here videoing us, making our predictions, how many wins for the Pirates. And you look around, you know, every website has it. And I saw that, I think it was Keith Law, who's people will say he's a longtime Pirate hater. He has them losing over 90 games. And yet other projections are anywhere from, say, the mid-70s to maybe 80. And if you think about it, you can go win above replacement and all that other crap. You bring in a little bit of offense, proven offense, and that 76 or 77 goes up to, say, 83 or 84.
Mm-hmm.
In the National League Central, you're contending for the division.
And there's not going to be a runaway team.
And then the Cubs, who can spend money, they go out and get a guy that the Pirates probably could have had if they'd made a run for it and maybe traded some of their young pitching that they're going to keep in the minors. You know, I tell people, it's funny, I tell people, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I said, I don't really care as much as I used to. I don't follow it as much as I used to. And then I get wound up like this.
You get wound up because you care. You can't remove the care from someone who cares, period. So let's go to the phone lines because people want to talk about Pirates. Rich in Forest Hills is our first caller at 412-928-9370. Rich, you're on with Bob Pompeiani and Jim Colony. What's up?
My favorite two. Hey, you know, everybody talks about the pitching on this team, so I'm not. So they talk about Henry Davis being a bust, and I have a completely different view on this. I think if Joey Bart has a strong season this year, he'll be up for arbitration. What will his arbitration numbers be? And will the Pirates be able to quote-unquote afford him? So I think, personally, I like Davis. I just don't think he's been handled appropriately.
I agree with that.
You can never have too much catching. Look at their past several years, how many catchers they've run out there. I'm talking about warm bodies, too, or lukewarm bodies. So I think the catching is solid, and I really wish people would get off of Henry Davis's back, give him a chance to develop without, you know, reading the papers every day, because he will be an important part of this roster should Joey Bart perform this year. You know, they'll trade Bart, period. Just like they'll trade Skeens whenever it gets to the point where
that's a completely different story. If they get what's a decent season out of Joey Bart? Like 25 home runs?
Well, he had 13 home runs with 45 runs batted in last year. You could take it to 20 probably.
But what I don't understand is why they don't. You want to give a catcher a break? Okay, you can let him DH because you want to give McCutcheon a break. And yet, this whole first base thing where maybe Andy Rodriguez may end up being the starting first baseman today. And why didn't they haven't even used him there. They haven't done it with They haven't done it with Davis. They haven't done it with anybody that you want to give them some time. And first base is not an easy position to play necessarily, which we've seen with Josh Bell as a prime example of that. So it's not automatic that you're going to put a catcher at first base and he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And you know but that's a place where you can work a guy, and they haven't even been working these guys there.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Joey Bart's numbers, in case you're wondering, he said the Pirates, you know, arbitration, they shouldn't have to worry about that because it's $1.175 million. So that's all he's making this year.
Oh, but heaven forbid they would have to up it to $3.5 million, yeah, and then he becomes unaffordable.
And I wouldn't trade him. If he's that good, I'd keep him around. But I got to find a role for Henry Davis. He has to be there somewhere because he's the guy you invested in. He's 1-1. Find a role. Whether it's, if they had three guys audition for first base this year, why wasn't he one of them?
You're asking the wrong guy. Now, Jason Mackey did a story on the Pirates, talking about internal, and we always hear the Pirates talk about like internal improvement, that the improvement's going to happen from within. Well, now we've got a new hitting coach, Matt Haig. He was with the organization years ago, the hit collector. And if you read what Jason's report and what Haig has to say about it, is that it sounds anyway like he has the right approach, where they're not going to try to change anybody. They're going to try to work with guys within what they're comfortable with and try to make them better that way. Again, easier said than done, but this organization hasn't been able to develop any hitters since when? When has this organization developed a hitter? Jack Sawinski is a guy you can put him in. He's actually a solid defensive outfielder. You can put him out there in a corner position. If you can get him back to hitting home runs like he did a couple years ago, can Matt Haig, help that? Maybe. It can't be any worse than it was. But then you get guys like Sawinski and Davis that go down to AAA, and they're hitting 400 and just battering AAA pitching, and yet they come back up to the big leagues and they can't do anything. I don't know if Matt Haig can fix that. But it's frustrating when you see that there's something there. There's some talent there. There's some ability there. And I don't care that Davis was I do care that he was drafted 1-1 and then hasn't panned out so far. Yet at the same time, you can't hold that. You just have to develop the guy like he's anybody else. Right. And they just haven't done that.
Part of the development on a team that really, realistically, isn't going to win anything is give them opportunities up here. Hey, big thank you to Pittsburgh for your amazing generosity. You never fail in critical times like the 2025 Giant Eagle Feed the Need Telethon, the Radiothon. Well, with your help, listen to this, we're able to provide 258,375 meals to our neighbors in need through the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. They do such a great job, and so did you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts, and a special thanks to our partners, Rome Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway Chevy, Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers, Aetna, Isley's, and Beano's. And that's always a big day, and it was a bigger day than ever before because of your help. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that was really cool. I listened to a lot of that. It was really cool.
Yeah, there's so many people who do need things, and the Steelers need a quarterback.
Yes, they do.
So they're still looking. They have Mason Rudolph here, Jim, but they're still hoping that Aaron Rodgers, I suppose, is out there. But it was interesting that Adam Schefter was on Milwaukee ESPN today, and he kept bringing up the retirement. It's in play, I think is his quote. So, of course, we've been talking about it. But if it's in play, that would tell me his mind's not necessarily fully invested in this, especially for someone who misses a lot of the fundamental stuff, the volunteer and the involuntary sessions, all those kinds of things, the OTAs. What's your take on this, and what do you think the final verdict will be?
I would tell him, done? I don't know. I think he'll come in, and there's a part of me, we've talked about this before, that if he comes in with an attitude that he's going to do whatever he wants, regardless of what Tomlin and Artie Smith tell him to do, I'm all in with that. I'd love to see that show. And I know our friend, I can't remember if it was Ron Cook or Bob Smizek, maybe both, that you root for the story. If you want to root for a story from our standpoint, that's a story.
But
at this point, I'm sick of it. And from a Steelers standpoint, at some point, it's like, you want to do this or you don't want to do it, and then basically tell the guy to get lost, that we don't want anything to do with you. Now, of course, that leaves him in a predicament with, Mason, who's Skylar Thompson. Is he the one I'm forgetting? I still go back and thought that, I don't know if any of it was self-inflicted. I think most of it wasn't that, but Mason Rudolph never really received a fair chance. And then when he finally got a chance by default a couple of years ago, and he actually showed, hey, you know what? There's somebody in here that can make some plays. And then they get rid of him. I don't know why he came back. Probably because nobody else wanted him.
2 years, $8.5 million. I mean, that's a pretty good reason,
right? But no one else. But for that's backup quarterback money, right. Which is it's easy for us to say that's not a lot of money.
That was the intention, probably.
Sure, but they can put your money elsewhere. I still think that they can make a whole lot of other moves that they're paying people on defense that they're not getting their money's worth from. They're not making full use of T.J. Watt. If you could trade him to build up draft assets at some point, then I'd do it. Because the defense is horribly overrated. But in terms of the quarterback, at some point, don't you have to just tell this guy? Don't they tell people, you're not bigger than the team, you're not bigger than this? And I know he's a four-time MVP, and he beat the Steelers in a Super Bowl 15 years ago. But at some point, I just say, no, we're not interested in you. You're not interested in us. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the thing, how it plays out. We'll see. But I would imagine that they – get Nancy, they need to have a decision here so that they can move forward with what they're going to do, especially before this draft. That's coming up before you know it. 412-928-9370, out to the lines. Rob's been patient in his truck. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Good.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about Steelers because you got so deep into baseball.
You can do that, too. It's an open-end conversation here.
All right. Well, now that we brought up Rodgers, I am intrigued by Rodgers. That I hope they sign the guy. I hope that he has more in the tank than people think. That his injury, I believe, led to so much of his faults last year, of his mobility, his ability to throw a hard deep ball when he needed to, and escape the pocket, move up in the pocket. And right. I think with Pittsburgh having a better offensive line and other tools around him.
You sure about that? Because I was going to throw this out to you. You don't know Broderick Jones, who struggled at right tackle, is going to move to left tackle because that's his natural position. And then you've got ostensibly a rookie who's going to be playing at right tackle. You think that's going to be a better offensive line automatically? Because I don't.
Well, don't you think it's a better makeup of an offensive line than what he had in New York?
The Jets were a bad offensive line, right. No question. Potentially, this could be real good. They're both number one picks. But there's no guarantee here. And you just described... Rob, the problems. Listen, if you give him time in the pocket, I still believe the guy can throw the ball accurately where he needs to throw it, and he knows how to do that.
That's the
problem
key.
Is all those things you just described. The injury, they lack the mobility, it affects him on a lot of different ways. So this is what you're signing on for 1 year, and if they believe that he can be upright in the pocket and help them out, good. We'll see if that can happen or not.
My point about his injury is that last year he was always under stress. And the man knows how to take care of his body. He does weird things maybe we don't know about. I'm just kind of thinking in the background, maybe he's rehabbed himself, and he's going to be better that way this year, and I'd love to see what he can do.
All right, man. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Like I said, it's a story. But you see where I'm going with the offensive line here? Where was Broderick Jones a great right tackle? No.
No, he led the NFL in sacks, right. And so did Dan Moore, who got paid $82 million.
Is he going to be better at left tackle? Maybe. Fontano, is he going to be?
We haven't.
Yeah,
I know. Hope is not a way to
it's not
strategy.
A plan. The interior of the line, I like it. I mean, Sayamalu and then Zach Frazier, I think, is going to be real, real good. And McCormick, I thought he showed some promise, but he's basically unproven. But I'm the thing, Bob, is that I'm thinking they're going to go, and I know Starkey, God bless you, Joe. I hope you enjoy your golf trip to Florida. But Jackson Dart or anybody, even if they drafted the Miami quarterback, would there be any guarantee that this guy's going to be any good? The offense, everything is so predicated on the offensive line, the defensive line. It's true, that old adage on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, that's one thing that has not changed.
No.
You're right. Fundamentally, you better be good in the trenches. That's where it all starts.
And they, they need to focus on the defensive line in the draft. And I agree with that. I haven't looked at them lately, but I think didn't Ray Fittipaldo have a mock draft that had them drafting defensive line 1 and 2? I'd be fine with that.
Well, they don't have a 2, but 1 and 3, yes.
I'd be fine with using their first two picks on that.
Worry about quarterbacks. This is the thing. I think quarterbacks, you're right. If you're not going to get, you have to be absolutely sure. If you're not, then don't do it. They'll probably go mid-round for some quarterback this year just to have one and hope that he can develop. And they must feel good about whoever that. But next year is the time to redraft. They're going to have to redraft the position a couple of times, I think, before they get the guy they're really looking for.
You know what? I tend to think that would be a wasted pick as well, to just even use any pick on a quarterback.
How about if you think a guy from Ohio State is okay, we think we could work with him, he has all the tangibles and the intangibles we're looking for, but he's available in the fourth round.
I don't know if
what's a more important position?
There isn't one, and I don't know if they can judge that position.
Well, that's
if they can.
That's what I mean. You have to hit
if
it.
If they can judge that, they haven't judged it. They haven't gotten it right since Ben, and you know that's why Ben stayed an extra year, and good for him. I mean, he made an extra $20 million. God bless him. And that's what Rodgers can make if he decides to not retire. So I'm just not real optimistic. But here's the thing: is that I think Aaron Rodgers would do for them. Let's say that he remains healthy all year. The offensive line is okay. You know what he's going to do for them? He's going to go 9-8 or 10-7, and there we are. We're in the same spot that we've always been, and in the middle of
You don't think there's a higher end than that? Let's say he really does play well. He's protected. They come up with a game plan that suits him. You don't think that guy can still deliver some numbers?
Yeah, like I said, but I think that's the ceiling. Do you think they could get to 12 or 13 wins?
I've been around the Steelers enough to know that they don't have bridge years. In their mind, they're not trying to do that. They're trying to figure out a way to do something now. It may not always work, and recently it certainly hasn't.
No, it has not.
Postseason. But what I'm saying is, if they're doing this, then they must believe that there's something there that could activate this offense. Now with DK Metcalf here, and depending on what they do with Pickens, they could have some potentially very good numbers. If he gets protected.
We haven't even gotten into the whole Pickens situation. And then the other thing is, you brought up Pickens. That kind of made me lose my train of thought. Oh, I know what it is. They think they have a good defense. They think they have
a lot of work.
Like one of the top defenses. They don't. We saw what happened. It's like we were talking with TK earlier about Tristan Jarry, where I said he's really good until he has to be. Steelers defense is really good until it has to be. And that's exactly what happened last year. As soon as they started facing great competition, better than average, very good to great competition. Right. You saw what they did. And it's happened in every playoff game that they've managed to play over the last 7 years.
And Ben Roethlisberger's football and podcast had Mel Blunt on the other day, and he was pretty blunt about it. He said, if you took T.J. Watt off this defense, you don't have much there.
I see what you did there.
Who do we got next, Austin? Who's on the line?
Let's go to Warren in Waynesburg.
Oh boy, that could be one of those.
No,
that,
did you I don't check think it this? Is. I don't
what
think
if it
is.
Was Warren and Warren? Then Warren we think we'd be in trouble.
No, it's not one of those calls.
Good, thank you. I figured that Austin had this thing taken care of. What's up, Warren?
Yeah, I was just calling. You know, the last offseason and this offseason, the Steelers look like the NFL version of the ASPCA. I mean, they just ride around looking for players that need a home.
Like a Band-Aid for quarterback. And this is what happened to the Indianapolis Colts, and they still haven't solved it there.
Yeah, I know. And Rodgers isn't going to do it. He's going to come here. We're going to have our, like everybody's saying, 9-8, 10-7.
But you don't think, like, I'm surprised that nobody would think that maybe that there is an ability that he still has, which is zinging a ball accurately in decent windows, that he can make throws. If that happens, if he gets protected, if this offensive line does better than most people believe, and until you see it, I understand you won't believe it, but let's say it happens. That dude has
– Steelers.
He's a four-time NFL MVP. He still can throw the ball.
The money. They're going to have to fork out the money for this
guy. It's for 1 year.
To see if he can – regardless, you know. I mean, they brought Mason Rudolph back, put Mason Rudolph in there for the year, get a backup for him. And just go for broke, you know. And, I mean, just run around the NFL finding guys that nobody wants, you know, or we don't want to pay him. We don't think he's going to do good. I mean, it's not going to work.
All right, Warren, thank you. There are a lot of guys out there.
You know
who
I just looked up? Is I looked up our old friend Kyle Allen. Now, at one point last season, before Russ took over and actually made some really good throws with the moon ball and so forth, the best pass that a Steeler quarterback had thrown all season was the Kyle Allen pass over the middle when Justin Fields had to check out of a game for a play. I'm going like, whoa, that's pretty good. You know, there was a number of things. It was an accurate ball, and it was over the middle, which is stuff that you didn't see all that often. I'm not sure why that play was dialed up when he came in. But now he's not even available because he's signed with the Lions, I guess. So it's very disappointing, Bob. I was thinking, bring back Kyle Allen to throw that nice pass over the middle.
But yeah, he was good. Not. He got one pass, and he made it count. Who's next? Austin.
Here is Tim wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Who doesn't? What's up, Tim?
Olivia Dunn.
Hey guys, this is like watching the same movie with different actors. Big Ben was there 40 years old, no mobility, and now we want to bring the same thing back in. I don't understand. The ending's always the same.
Well, listen, and thanks for the call, Tim. I think my whole plan, and I thought this was going to be their plan, sign Justin Fields, keep him here and see the upside. There's potential upside. He is a young quarterback who still can maybe reach the levels that he was intended to reach. Plus, he offers the mobility that Mike Tomlin has always cherished. This goes against all of that. You know, there is no upside to Aaron Rodgers beyond this year. And quite frankly, there is no upside to his mobility.
Well, if you wanted to bring Justin Fields back for 2 years, they could have done it because that's what he got from the Jets.
Well, they offered him. They should have gone higher if that's the case. Or say to him, all right, see what you got out there. Come back to us. I don't know if that happened or not.
But that also tells you that, I mean, look at what happened with both of those quarterbacks. And we don't know exactly what the thing is with Wilson and checking plays at the line of scrimmage. What's the use of having a guy? I mean, he's at worst a borderline Hall of Fame quarterback who's in his late 30s, who's seen everything. You should give that guy the keys to the kingdom when it comes to checking out of plays at the line of scrimmage. And if he wasn't allowed to do that or they clashed, then that's just mismanagement. And why else would you have a veteran quarterback and to not let him do that stuff? Now, did they like Justin Fields better because they felt he could control him because he's younger, he's inexperienced, and wasn't going to go against the wishes of the offensive coordinator or the head coach? And maybe he decided, you know what, his agent said, okay, you know what, I can get a couple more million dollars. And again, we talked about how little money is that in the grand scheme
of
things. It's just nothing.
It's nothing.
You know, send a little bit of that my way in retirement. That'd be nice. But it's just, I just think the mismanagement at the quarterback position has just been, it's been really bad over the last several years. I don't know if they can coach them. I don't know if they can identify them. You know,
well, you have to let them, you know, spread their wings a little bit too.
If you're going to do that, you can't
just be worried about, don't make a mistake. We're here. You know, this is you're a manager of this offense. You got to let them play. And if they have that ability, let it go. You're going to make mistakes. Hey, everyone does.
Hey, Justin, that was a nice 8-yard run for a first down, but don't do that again. You know, you got to stay in the pocket. But if Mike Tomlin does love mobile quarterbacks, and I agree with you, how many times have we, you know, you do the interviews, and I used to sit through press conferences, he'd go gaga over these guys that had mobility. But he gets a guy with that, and do they harness him? I would have run him a lot more.
And I think now with Metcalf here, that would spread the field wide open. There would be a lot of opportunity for running, but also hit some passes underneath the Freiermuth and other opportunities.
You mean like the tight end over the middle?
Yeah.
That's a concept.
Over the middle. By the way, Russell Wilson threw a pass over the middle of Madison Square Garden last night. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, he was sitting there courtside after he signed his deal with the Giants, had a football signed, it stood up, threw it. It wasn't intercepted.
Was it a moon ball?
Yeah, it was a moon ball.
He hit the scoreboard.
Yes, Austin, what's up next?
Here is Ken in South Park.
No.
Hey, Ken.
Okay,
hey.
Now, Kenny in South Park. Hey. I mean, come on.
Oh, he's a frequent caller, Jim.
Oh, he is? Okay.
Hey, how you doing? And thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Would the Steelers defense be a lot better if they had an offense that didn't lead the league in three and outs? Run, pass, punt.
That's a really good point.
You put them guys on another team that can sustain drives and maybe score a touchdown on opening drives.
That's
true.
They
would be a lot better.
But also, Ken, this defense was too many times not able to bail out their offense. And again, the key play that comes to mind is the fumble at the goal line by Russell Wilson. They didn't have to turn that into a 96-yard drive, which took 14 plays. They could have bailed him out, too. It goes both ways. But, yes, I agree with that. If your offense is better in time possession, it helps your defense.
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Thank you. Ken made his point.
No, see, I was a little leery about – I always thought Kenny from South Park, that would be a – that ship has sailed on – Austin, you even know what South Park is?
The show,
is that still
South
around?
Park?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, but it's really old now, but so am I. Oh, can I read this text? Because I know we got to go here in a minute. I thought this
Are you staying or what are you doing?
I might stick around for a little bit.
Okay.
When's Jeff coming in?
1:00.
Yeah, I got to go, even though Jeff's one of my best friends. Anyway, where's the – I got to go back down here with the pirate prediction. Here it is. It's not an optimistic one, Bob.
Okay, well, I mean, that's the way it goes
Pirate prediction. Livy Dunn breaks up with Paul Skeens this summer. And Skeens goes into a funk the rest of the season. Pirates go 70-92. Shelton gets fired in September. I can't see Livy. I can't see Livy dumping him.
No, that's a great relationship.
No, that's a. I mean, that's a catch, and
I think it's a catch for both of them.
Of course it is.
I mean, that's a nice couple right there. Why would they?
No, there's no question about it. But I can't see that happening. But that would be, but that might be the only thing that would put Skeens into a funk.
Maybe, but he's mentally strong enough where I think he'd be able to deal with it. I think it'd have more of an impact on Travis Kelce if Taylor Swift dumped him.
Oh, well, that's just waiting to happen.
Or, Jim, he'll end up having a 150 ERA and absolutely dominate and throw 105.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know
sets
what? I think
no problem. 110 miles an hour, the bionic man.
What a man. What was that? Was that the Joe Block call you had? What a man.
Oh, yeah. What a man. He's your man.
Oh, wait. I can see Will Craig just running back to home plate.
I still can't believe that play. I watched that play over and over, and I still can't believe it. I mean,
look like something from the Savannah Bananas.
Who are very good, by the way.
Yes.
They sold out Raymond James Stadium. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Aren't they coming here?
I think they are.
Austin,
yeah,
you'd be more into tune with that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think they're – I don't know if it's PNC Park or where they're playing, but they are going to be coming
here soon.
Pretty entertaining if you just want to be entertained.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a lot of fun. Okay, I'll stick around for a little bit if you want me to.
Yes, sir.
My two times not to 120, so –